I'm Jennifer Garner. You may know me from my other job, but I'm a business owner too. Here at Once Upon a Farm, we chose the new Capital One Venture X business card because it makes everything we do even more rewarding. With no preset spending limit, our purchasing power adapts to meet our business needs. And unlimited double miles on every purchase means we earn more too. And when we travel, we get access to over 1,300 airport lounges. The Capital One Venture X business card. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/VentureXBusiness.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 17th day of October 2023. And indeed, this is the voice. It is the voice of the Christian resistance after all these years. We're still sounding off. That's right. And this is Pledge Week. This is Pledge Week. And so anyhow, we have our A team in place out there tonight. And we've already got a pledge in. We've already got, Anonymous. Anonymous pledged from, what else? Okay. $200 for Anonymous. So thank you, Anonymous from Ohio. Alrighty.
And now we match me from yesterday.
Yeah. And so maybe we can get some more matches today. And that voice
it'll keep on going.
That voice in the night, unannounced, that voice in the night out there was none other than the legendary Missouri parson, Joe Larson.
Yeah, I'm back, still willing to cause trouble and voice that opinion again.
Okay, go ahead and cackle. Go on, cackle. Do your best cackle. Okay, there you hear the cackle. Okay.
Good evening, everyone.
There you go. That's little Lisa.
Somebody's doing better, right?
Yeah. All righty. And so she flutters and she sputters. She's the studio marm here. She does things like she gets coffee and, well, she's 86 pounds of fury.
She's the bodyguard.
Yeah, there you go. In fact, she weighs about the same as my shadow. And I think they actually have something in common.
We better stick to preaching and stay away from the humor.
All righty. Some people aren't ready for humor. Yeah, I know a lot of people that aren't ready for humor out there.
Yeah.
Anyhow, so we're going to go to Joshua chapter 11 and verses 20 through 23. Now, do you remember the title of the message?
Gaza, then and now.
Right. Now, let's see if we're going to see if we see a lot of history repeating itself. If we see history repeating itself over and over again. So let's go ahead. Let's take it verse at a time. Start with verse 20.
For it was of the Lord to harden their hearts, that they should come against Israel in battle. that he might destroy them utterly, and that they might have no favor, but that he might destroy them as the Lord commanded Moses.
Okay, so here again, you know, in fact, you'll see throughout Scripture here, it's got a list of the kings that were killed by Moses and Joshua 12, and lists all these kings that were killed by Moses. And then, starting with verse 7, all of the kings, a huge number of kings that were killed by Joshua. But here now, what happens is this is where your liberal theologians, which are apostate, your apostate theologians, where they're coming out and they have two different gods. They have the God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament. And the God of the Old Testament, according to liberal theologians, was a very stern God, a very judgmental God. But the God of the New Testament is a God that is non-judgmental. And where it comes to, where it comes to sin. And so they've got two different gods, but this God of the Old Testament, every time he was referred to as Lord, who was that?
Jesus.
So it was the same God, wasn't it?
Yeah, he was the same yesterday, today, and he'll be the same tomorrow, and he'll be the same when heaven and earth pass away. He'll still be the same. He cannot change.
So here again is where they say that this God of the Old Testament, he did not show mercy. And how could you justify killing babies? Isn't that something here? How you could hear these liberal theologians making this statement as today. Today here in Ohio, you've got an apostate out of Columbus. I think his name is Tim something. He's an apostate. And he's making these commercials. I mentioned his last name before, but I can't remember right now. But he's lying through his teeth. He is a minister of Satan. He is not a man of God. But people out there that are biblically illiterate, they're clueless. And he's on all of the so-called mainstream media, and they're promoting this apostle of Satan. He's exactly what is described for there in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Starting with verse 12 through 15. And so, here again, we see these people, they're condemning God, right? Read verse 21 through 23.
And at that time came Joshua and cut off the Anakim from the mountains, from Hebron to Debir, from Anab, and all the mountains of Judah, and from all the mountains of Israel. Joshua destroyed them utterly with their cities. There was none of the Anakim left in the land of the children of Israel, only in Gaza, in Gath, and in Ashdod there remained.
One more verse.
Okay. So Joshua took the whole land, according to all that the Lord had said unto Moses, and Joshua gave it for an inheritance unto Israel, according to their divisions by their tribes, and the land rested from war.
All right, so here you go now. Now, the Anakims were giants. In fact, here,
right,
300 years after this took place, after Joshua went in, one of those Anakims was a fellow named Goliath. And he... when you read in verse there where it talks about Gath in verse 22, Gath was one of three cities where some of the families of these giants among the Anakin survived.
Survived.
Yeah, there was just a few of them, yeah. There was three cities which they survived in. And it was from Gath.
It was Gath and Ashdod, huh?
Yeah, and Gath and Goliath, and the giant was killed by King David over 300 years later. We read that over in 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 17, I believe it is, 17, verse 4, if I remember. So, here now, let me just read this again. And there was none of the Anakims left in the land of the children of Israel. Now, only in Gaza and Gath and Ashdod there remained. Well, Gaza was one, Gath and the other, and Ashdod was the third. which they remained. Now, here, God didn't show any mercy in there. He destroyed them to the last person there in the mountains, and from Hebron and Deborah, and again, all of Judah. So let me ask you this, because what had happened on all those babies that our modern-day liberals seems to fear some, to care so much about, you know, the people that can't get enough abortion, had they been left to the Anakin to raise those children, what would have happened to their spirits and souls once they were killed in war?
They would have lost it, because they would have been raised to hate the Jews and to be ungodly. And so when they were grown of age, they would have chosen the side of evil. And then when they died, they would have gone, of course, to hell.
So today you have this pro-death movement. By the way, you know, I don't ever want to hear those words pro-life or pro-choice. And when I hear people say that, in fact, I'll give them a warning on this radio program. We'd never refer to pro-choice, either pro-death or you're pro-life or low-life. And that's the fact. And that's what you'll find in God's Word, the Bible. Okay? And so to call pro-choice, have you ever seen one baby that is choosing to have his little heart cut up while he's alive? Huh?
No.
Okay.
But pro-death is a lot better than pro-choice.
Yeah, never use that word pro-choice. You see, whoever frames the debate wins the debate.
Wins the debate, right.
And, you know, and I don't...
He has absolutely no choice.
Right. So I would, you know, I tell folks that when they're on a radio program, and I've had to tell some good friends of mine, because they've been so conditioned to do that, to use that terminology, look, if you do that one more time, I'm going to cut you off. You're gone. And it's like, well, finally, then that gets the point across to him. You know what? Maybe he's got a point here, right? And so...
I think it's a very good point.
And so Joshua took the whole land according to all... Now listen to this, okay? And Joshua took the whole land according to all that the Lord had said unto Moses, and Joshua gave it for an inheritance unto Israel according to their divisions of their tribes, and the land rested from war. Now, here you got a point. When he did that, what did God also tell him about that land that he gave to them when it came to selling it?
The land was never to be sold, bartered, traded. It was never to leave the hands of the Jews.
No, it could only be sold within the family. It had to stay within the family.
Yeah, I mean, never sold outside, yeah.
Yeah. And so here, now, let me ask you this, because I just listened earlier to a clip of this guy who is a liberal Jew, and you know, if you didn't know any better, you would think, well, you know, maybe he's got some points, and there were some points made about the Palestinian people, but he took it all out of context. The way he made it sound is that Israel came in 1947 and forced the people into the land. Virtually, you know, put them in a prison, on a desert prison, Palestinian people.
No, it didn't happen that way.
No, it didn't happen that way at all. In fact, it's just the opposite. What countries around would take the people in?
Not a single Arab country after the war in the 40s would take any of the Arabs,
the Palestinians,
they were Arabs.
Yeah. Yeah. What was the reason they refused?
Were taken in.
What was the reason that they refused to take the Palestinians in? The reason was there were many of them that were like our modern day Hamas. All right. You had a lot of these young guys like Hamas. Okay, they wasn't Hamas at that time, but they were a minority. Like today, do you think Antifa represents all of America?
No, very, you know, 0.000, you know, very small.
What about burn, loot, and murder?
A lot of those Jews. There was a lot of those Arabs had been there and with the Jews working because the Jews had jobs for them. And historically, the Arab leaders came and told them to flee because they were going to go to war with Israel, which they did. Remember, there was a great battle. Israel became a state. They all attacked. Only these Arabs had been promised they could be returned and given their homes back, or they would be given, sent back to the countries that they came from. They left their Arab nations to go to Israel to find work.
All righty. I've got to give the numbers out, folks. So far, we've only got one pledge in. Well, we can't let this happen. It can't happen. It can't. No, we got to get the phone lines ringing. 888-281-1110. And that's the credit card line. Oh, by the
way. Right.
Or 888-677-9673. 888-677-9673. Joe, you know, remember we had some years ago, we had the DVDs we sent out about the Muslim training camps here in America, the jihadist training camps, and we sent out over like 300 of these DVDs. Well, we have 30 left. We have 30 of these DVDs left. And so those DVDs will be for the very first. Anyone who has a donation tonight, a pledge of more than $25 or more, but it's the first 30 because that's all we have is 30, okay? So the first 30, now, folks, there was a two parts. This is the second part of it, and it goes into Islam, what we've been telling you about, it shows you in there, their training camps. It shows people going right up there. And, of course, listen, guess who knew all about these training camps and sat and watched their training for their jihads to in America? Who do you think it was?
It would be our own FBI.
Yep, you're exactly right. They sat and they watched and did nothing, huh?
Because I was with you on the program where we talked about it. That's why I remember so clearly.
Yeah.
No, they had people taking pictures. You could see the guards dressed, and they were armed with automatic rifles, and nobody could go in. And people got some of the pictures of them back in training. I mean, it was really funny. Everybody knew, but of course, the liberal media didn't seem to hear a word of it, knew nothing about it, of course. Or if they did, they decided it was not anything people needed to know.
Well, again, the first time we showed this was all the way back in 2015 when we first started giving those out. But and I don't know if I remember in these films, but in some of the ones you had in these Muslim training camps, I mean, these people were just absolutely like animals. In fact, they actually used animals. They would set animals out, dogs or whatever. And a part of that training, you'd have to run out and cut one up, kill it with a knife, and then take a bite out of it. These people are, you know, this is what they were training. And they had little bitty children carrying automatic weapons and shouting death to Israel and death to America. All right, we have, it looks like, Loretta in New York pledges 30. And Bill in Boston pledges 100. All right, thank you, Loretta. Not Loretta, but we still haven't got a matching pledge of the 200 for Anonymous. And so we still need a matching pledge. The phone lines are open at 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. And so don't forget, for the first 30 that calls, you have one of those DVDs, and it shows you what we've been telling you about. The last time, Joe, when we covered that, there were as many as we knew of 90 Islamic jihadist training camps in America where they were training for jihad. And so
we were sure of 90 locations. There were a couple. They weren't sure what was going on, but we figure if there were, you know, 85, 87 training camps, that the others probably were too.
Well, no, they were
logic.
They verified these were training camps. That the fellow who was in charge of that Bill Maher guy, not the one that's on TV.
I thought there were a couple they were still trying to prove at that time back then.
Well, there were a couple that were, well, kind of abandoned. That they'd built a camp,
yeah,
and there was nobody there for some reasons.
That's what happens.
And so, yeah. Well, you know, you had
changed the location or something for some reason. They moved it.
Well, within that, you had people competing to be the leaders of these camps. So. And these people were very dangerous people to each other. All righty. Bob and Lori in Michigan pledged 75. Thank you. And Bill in Ohio pledges 100. Thank you, Bill in Ohio. Okay. Yeah, so anyhow, the phone lines again are open, folks, at 888. The first 30 people that call will get those. Because that's all we have left. It's 281-1110, 888-281-1110, or 888-677-9673. And so it's an interesting thing, Joe, because now, I don't know if you heard, but Obama Biden is going to go to Israel. Now, Joe, here's a guy that never made it to East Palestine. Here's a guy that never made it to our southern border. He never made it down to our southern border where he's bringing in all of these terrorists. Now you have Assyrians. Today they caught a bunch of Iranians. Today, a bunch of Iranians coming in. You have Al-Qaeda. They have ISIS. They have Hamas, all of these people coming into our border. They said an estimated 45,000 Chinese nationalists coming in through our border. These are basically plainclothes soldiers.
1.6 gotaways. We don't know who in 1.6 million.
Yeah. And so, I have a clip that I could play a little bit of a clip. You know, maybe on that. We have a clip. I don't know if you loaded that clip up, a few minutes of it. Let me see here. And this shows you on the Mexican or on the Arizona border, they've got no, it's just free. It shows you them just coming in. Nobody's there at all. Nothing's happening there at all. And so all of these people, none of them are even counted. Can you do the Ben Burkholm report? If you can load that up, we'll do just a couple minutes of that. All righty. We're going to just do a couple minutes of this Ben Burkholm report. And it shows you how bad it is along the border. You know, once he gets to the part where he's telling you, you know, they're just coming through and there's nobody even down here. Okay. Go ahead, and we'll play a couple minutes.
Patrol that outside of Lukeville, now that they're having to use all their Border Patrol resources in Lukeville, the area out in the West Desert towards Yuma is completely unmanned. So we're going to head out there. It's the first time I've been there. We're going to go check it out and see what we can find. I saw these water droppers down in Lukeville. That was actually what led me to break that story about the illegals going along the wall and these massive numbers coming in. I saw one of these flags, so they put these out here. You don't see this. Aravaca has water droppers as well, but they kind of hide their locations. They strategically put them. These guys over here, and I've talked to a few of them, seem like nice enough people. They're out of Ajo. The problem with this is everybody that's coming through this area, we're going out west into the desert, everybody that's coming through this area is trying to not get caught. These are all people that either have a criminal background, that know they're going to be deported, or potentially are terrorists. You just don't know, but they're all people that don't want to get caught. So by putting these out, by putting the water out, by putting the flags out, their whole thing is, well, we don't want people to die in the desert. You got to balance that with, we're inviting people to come illegally enter our country. And the easier we make it for them.
All right, there you go. That's just a little bit of the clip. He goes on and he's telling you, these flags, Joe, they put in these flags up, and it, where there's water, they leave bottles of water there. So the illegals, they come through there, and of course, this is their own people, and they can find it.
Right.
These are the people that are coming to take our country, and there's not even anybody there. The border is wide open. Thank you, Joe Bama. We'll be back right after this.
The doctor did our dirty work, so now we pay the bill. We thought he solved our problem, but our life's a living hell. I toss and turn in bed at night, 'cause God, it's hard to sleep. In my heart and in my mind I hear a voice that says to me, you could have took me fishing, Dad. You could have taught me how to swim. I could have made you proud of me. Now I'll never have that chance. I could have been your little boy, standing right there by your side. I could have been your pride and joy. Daddy, did I have to die? I never thought of it as right or wrong, but I think about it now. Oh God, I'd give my life if I could just turn time back somehow. I'd let him live and watch him grow. Oh, I'd buy him everything. But now he won't need a ball or bat. He'll never play one game. You could have been my hero, Dad. You could have done what daddies do. You could have rode me on your back. You could have taught me to tie my shoes. I could have grown into a man. I should have had my chance at life. We could have been the best of friends. Daddy, did I have to die? God, the choice of life belongs to you. It wasn't hers or mine. I know she feels the same way too. Sometimes I hear her cry. How can we ever be the same or live with what was done? Instead of these two broken hearts, God, we might have had a son. You could have been my hero, Dad. You could have done what daddies do. You could have rode me on your back. You could have taught me to tie my shoes. I could have been your little boy, standing right there by your side. I could have been your pride and joy. Daddy, did I have to die?
Alrighty, we're back. No, you didn't have to die. You should listen to God and not the world and not the mainstream media, right? Alrighty, tonight we have Stanley from Warren pledges 103, and Patrick in Ohio pledges 100, and Dale in Michigan pledges 50. And Joe, guess what? We have a pretty woman that has joined us from the Susan B. Anthony Pro-Life America. We have Michelle Ashley. Hey, Michelle.
Hi, Pastor Sanders. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing good. It's good to have you here tonight. Say hi to Pastor Joe.
Oh, hi,
good
Pastor
evening.
Joe.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Glad to have you aboard.
Thanks so much for having me. Yeah, thank you.
Well, we want to thank you for coming here tonight because you're on a mission and you're looking to recruit some folks. Tell the people all about Susan B. Anthony Pro-Life America and what Michelle Ashley's doing here tonight.
Okay, sure. Thank you. So basically, yeah, so my name's Michelle and I've been with Susan B. Anthony Pro-Life America for over 7 years. And I live in Mason, Ohio, which is just north of Cincinnati. And so I'm the state director for our field program in Ohio. And basically, we're working as part of a coalition of the pro-life groups across the state to defeat Issue 1, which is a radical pro-abortion, anti-parent amendment that, if it is passed in November, would basically override pro-life laws in the state. And so we're working very hard to get out the no vote in November, and we're hiring canvassers across the state. So what we do is we visit doors of pro-life and persuadable pro-life voters with a simple survey that informs them, too, about this amendment. And two specific things. There's a lot of horrible things about this amendment, but the two things we focus on is, one, that it would basically eliminate parental rights of consent and even notification for minors that would seek, for minor girls that would seek an abortion, or minors that would seek transgender treatment. And that's very frightening, because then it also would give protection to third parties who would assist these individuals, as it calls it in the amendment, but which could relate to children. And that could be anyone. It could be a teacher, a coach, a predator. So it opens up children to all kinds of abuse. And then the second thing is that the main point we're talking about is that it would open up late-term abortion up to birth in Ohio for virtually any reason. So we know that when we reach voters, most of them are absolutely against this amendment. And so we've already reached over 380,000 voters across the state, and we will reach by Election Day up to 500,000. So as I mentioned, we are hiring. And we're hiring across the state. So pretty much anywhere you live in Ohio, we have opportunities for canvassing and for visiting doors. And we pay $15 to $20 an hour, and you can set your own schedule, which is amazing. And our group actually will be canvassing after November for the presidential and U.S. Senate race as well. But right now, it's all hands on deck to defeat Issue 1.
Now, here's one of the things that bothers me. You know, on August 8th, they confused people. The way they had the thing worded, the ACLU, in their slick, slimy way, when had people confused. Here is what we have seen. That now, I don't think this is, you know, that I don't think it's that widespread. But we've seen people that were people who supported President Trump, who had Trump signs in their yard and this and that, and then they had a sign vote yes on Issue 1. So they obviously are very confused, because you can't be pro-life and pro-death at the same time, can you?
Right, right. Well, and August was different, you know, because that was to raise the threshold of the Constitution to require a 60% vote, you know, to pass amendments. And it did get a bit confusing for voters, because, you know, you're speaking about August and then November, and August really became a political election. There was a lot of union involvement and everything. So very, very different from the election we have coming up in November, which is strictly about this amendment. And yeah, we do still meet voters that are uninformed, or they're misinformed. And I don't know, Pastor Sanders, if you've seen the ads from the other side, but they are
totally misleading, totally false.
It's horrible, because they're saying that women, you know, would not get treatment for miscarriage. That's absolutely false.
I know it.
There's no pro-life law in the country that prevents a woman from getting treatment for a miscarriage or ectopic pregnancy. So that's just a fear tactic. And what's sad is that we see some voters that do believe that. And so that's why the work in the field is so important, because when you go and you have those face-to-face conversations with voters, there's no noise around, right? There's no media noise, there's no social media noise, and it's just you and the voter, and you can have an amazing conversation and just speak, you know, truth and find out where they're coming from and everything. So it's so effective, the work at the doors. We've had, and it doesn't happen all the time, but we've had canvassers convince people that were planning to vote yes to vote no. And even this past week, someone with a yes sign in their yard said they were rethinking their vote after speaking to our team member, because they had no idea what this amendment was really about.
I know that. And that's why we need people out there actually going door to door. Tell us a little bit about the canvassing, how it works.
Oh, sure. Okay. So, like I said, we have field teams all over the state. Our field directors are concentrated in the Cincinnati, Dayton area, Columbus and Cleveland and Toledo. But, you know, you can pretty much canvass in any county as long as there's population there. And we go to pre-selected doors. So we use an app called I-360 Walk, and it's a targeted approach. So we're not going to the doors of someone who's, you know, really on the pro-abortion side. This is pro-life voters, persuadable pro-life voters, and then the low propensity voters, the people that we know if we could get them out to the polls, they'll vote for pro-life, you know, issues. And so that's what's great about it. So our canvassers, you know, they feel very comfortable going to the doors because they know they're going to kind of what we would call a warm market. And what's great about canvassing for an issue is we're really seen as information providers. This is such a bipartisan issue. We are finding so many people that would normally vote Democrat that are against this. We found voters who say they're pro-choice that are against this amendment, because this amendment is so radical for the abortion side and for the parental rights. And so anyway, so the canvassers go to the doors and speak to the voters. And like I said, we're having a really, really great response from voters. And if a voter doesn't want to talk, that's fine too. You know, we're polite, we're diplomatic. We're not there to argue with people. We're really there to turn out the vote and just deliver truth to people.
All right. Now I got to warn you, because, and I know you just said it in the right context, but on this radio program here, there is no pro-choice. You've got pro-life, pro-death, or low-life, okay? So we virtually say you're pro-life or low-life, but we never refer to the opposition, because they have not been able to show me one baby that's ever chosen to have his little heart cut out while he's alive.
Oh, right. And that's what we say. Like, the language we use for them is pro-abortion. And so when I say that term, it's the voters who, that's the term they use for themselves. But what's interesting is when we speak to voters who say that they call themselves pro-choice, by the time we end up a conversation with them, they'll say, oh, wait a minute. I'm much more pro-life. I don't want, you know, abortion up to birth. I don't want any of this. And really, those voters, what they're thinking of, they're truly believing that abortion is sometimes medically necessary, which we know it is never medically necessary. That life-saving measures for a mother will be given. And if a baby dies as a result, that's a horrible, sad outcome. But that's not abortion. You know, we know abortion is the intentional killing of a child in the womb.
I know you weren't even alive at this time, but Michelle, back from 1973 to 1983, we talked about it on the program. We covered it back then. They took a survey. And this is put out, this was by the government. And there was not one case, not one in 10 years, and by Lord knows how many babies were murdered in that time, but not one case where the baby had to be killed to save the mother's life. Not one.
Right. Exactly. And especially, and you know, this is where the misinformation is. And it's purposeful, you know, on the pro-abortion side. It's you know, the intent is to scare women, and that's why, like I said, we can never match their advertising dollars. I mean, you have so much dark money coming in from the ACLU and other radical
groups. About $60 million from California, New York, huh? New Jersey.
Right, Probably, yeah. I don't know all the exact figures, but that wouldn't surprise me. And so we you know, the pro-life side, we can't match those dollars. And that's where the grassroots effort, the door-to-door and the work we're doing is really vital to the cause and reaching out to voters, because once voters understand, and we'll go to the doors with our door hanger, but also with a clean copy of the amendment. We'll say, look, don't, if they Google that, they're going to get manipulated responses. We know that the responses you get when you Google things, it's going to be on the pro-abortion side. So we'll show them a clean copy of the amendment and say, look where the vague language is. It's very, very tricky and purposely vague language of things like individual, which could include minors, right? They don't say adult. They don't say woman. Anywhere in this proposed amendment, they're using very, very vague language like individual, which could include minors. There's nothing in there that provides parental rights. And so that's where they are able to mislead people.
All right. Dale in Michigan pledges 50. Arlene in Illinois pledges 30. Sally from Cali, it's California, pledges 100. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I got to give the numbers out just because this is pledge week. 888-281-1110. 888-677-9673. Let me do that again. 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. Folks out there, the address, if you just want to send in, mail in a donation, is WRWL 14781 Sperry, Sperry Road, Newberry, Newbury, Ohio 44065. If you're on the internet, just go to wrwl.org, and all that information is up there. And tonight, right now, what we need is we are $5,200 short of our goal. So we're $5,200 short of our goal for tonight. That's what we got to raise, and we've got a little bit more than 1 hour to do that, okay? So there you go. I want to go back. Michelle, the ramifications, and we cannot afford to lose this one. This is not a political issue. This is a sin issue. And, you know, just to tell you the truth, let me read to you a little bit from God's Word, the Bible. See, people need to know what God has to say about this, because I was just driving through these areas out here where they have the yes signs on, and it made me feel dirty. Just driving through that. You had all of these whitest sepulchers, the big, beautiful homes out there, the Pepper Pike and Woodmere areas, and then they've got these yes signs out in the yard. You know, like the Lord Jesus said, they're like whited sepulcher, but they're full of dead man's bones. In Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, here's what we read. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, and put darkness for light and light for darkness, and put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. That's exactly what they're doing. That's exactly what they're doing. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Now, I want to just jump down to the last verse, verse 25, very quickly, or verse 24. For as the fire devoureth the stubble and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be rottenness, their blossom shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts. They've despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. Therefore, in his anger of the Lord kindled against his people, he has stretched forth his hand against them, has smitten them, and the hills did tremble, and their carcasses were torn in the midst of the streets. For all of this, his anger is not yet turned away, but his hand is still stretched out still. Now, I've got to tell you, Michelle, right now, okay, you remember how the Bible tells you in Genesis 4 that Abel's blood cried out to God, and God right. told Cain. Now, just mm-hmm. think of this. In America today, I've been in this fight from the very beginning. I was in it from the very beginning with Dr. Wookie when we started the pro-life movement there.
Wow.
And for And let me tell you, since then, it's going back to the very early 70s, our sewers in this country from coast to coast have run red with the blood of millions and millions of babies. Now, you always hear the term 66 million. It's twice that. I've talked to a lot of these abortionists that have come out of the killing business. And I sat down, I had lunch with Dr. Bernard Nathanson. I've talked to many of them. And they'll admit that it's a common practice within the child-killing industry. You only turn in, you only claim one out of every two babies you kill. That's the common practice. Everybody knows it. The IRS knows it, and everybody knows it. And so, again, just think of how loud the cry is to Almighty God from the blood of these innocents. Now, I got to tell you this, too. The Lord Jesus preached more on sins of omission when you failed, it's what you failed to do, when you failed to stop the wicked, than he did on sins of commission. And I'm going to tell you, America right now is standing in the shadow of a righteous, holy, but a very, very angry God. And let me tell you, it's a very, very fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God.
That's right.
And America's going to find out, and you folks out there, you know, when all of it comes down, I mean, America, right now, we may be on the brink of a bloody civil war in this country. And if it comes, you remember to remind those people with the vote yes sign in the yard, thank you for bringing this on. This is what you did. And what we're seeing right now over in Israel, it's because you had a disobedient people. See, God uses the Gentile nations often to punish Israel, and Israel to punish the Gentile nations. He uses it back and forth. And, you know, Israel has gone away from their God in a mighty way. Israel has become very, very far to the left, very anti-Christ. The abortion rate in Israel is much higher than here in the United States, if that's possible. It is. And not just that, but they had the world's largest sodomite march, the largest sodomite parade in the world in Israel. And prostitution is very, very high in Israel. See, a lot of people, you know, think this is the Holy Land. Listen, God's not sleeping. And again, you know, his cup of indignation is becoming full. And we're warning the people out there. You folks out there listening, you're the ones, you people with the vote yes signs, you're the ones that's going to cry the loudest when it comes. And you're the ones standing there shaking a rebellious fist in the face of a holy God. So what do you think about all that?
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, I only speak to the life issue and issue one, but you know, it's so true that, you know, when you come after God's children and you think about that, I mean, these children are made in the image of God. And so that is what Satan is targeting, right? And we see that with coming after children through abortion, through trying to remove parental rights, coming in between parents and their children. You know, God set up the family. And so you just see that evil is abounding in these policies. And as a nation, it does scare me that we've turned a blind eye to this. You know, that people look at this as something that's happening in a clinic or a hospital. No, this is barbaric. And we have to wake up as a nation. And I see, I'm an evangelical Christian. And I will say, honestly, one of the saddest things to me when I got more involved in the pro-life movement, which I've been with SBA, as I mentioned, over 7 years, was to see my Catholic brothers and sisters standing for this. And even now, you know, we hire so many Catholics, and we will go to Protestant churches and begging them, you know, to work and to work with us. And it's gotten better, but evangelicals have got to stand up. All Christians have got to stand up, but we have to get in the game, and we have no excuses, you know, that we're here for such a time as this. And it is our duty to stand up and be the voice for the vulnerable and for the least of these. And we will be held accountable for that. We're held accountable for what happens on our watch, right? I mean, what happened in the in the 30s and 40s to the Jewish people in the Holocaust. You know, what's happening to the children in our country and around the world through abortion and these policies that are being pushed on people. We are our generation is responsible. We have a duty to stand up, and that's one of the things I have on my email is duty is ours and results are God's. We can't look at, well, if we think we're going to win or not win. We do have a chance to win here, but we're called to stand and to act. And you're right about the sins of omission, as well as commission. The sins of omission are egregious.
Well, you're talking to two old soldiers here. We understand, you know, we're supposed to be the Christian army. We're supposed to be Christian soldiers with our eyes upon the cross. And Joe and I know that when we had orders, you know, we didn't say, well, I don't know, I don't kind of feel like doing that today. You know, you followed your orders, and we are commanded. God gives us three missions. First mission, first and foremost, is the Great Commission, Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. From Second Commission, from Genesis to Revelation, resistance to tyranny is obedience to God. Failure to resist tyranny is always disobedience to God. And then you have the last in Second Thessalonians. He tells you we are to hold fast to the traditions of the apostles and never stand down. Don't give up our ground. And so that's right. Commanded. We are to run to this battle. Run to this battle.
That's right. Right. Rescue those being led away to the slaughter. That's one of the, you know, one of the verses, right, that we read a lot in the pro-life movement.
Proverbs 24, verse 10, 11, and 12, he tells you that there'll be no excuse on that day, that when you say, what were you doing when they were killing my babies? There'll be no excuse, will there? But the only thing acceptable answer is all that I could do to stop it, huh?
That's right, yeah. And God just asks for obedience, you know. And we see that when we go to the doors, you know. I always tell our canvassers, look, we can't get so caught up in the results. God asks us to go to the doors, to do our work, to plant the seeds. We don't know who else will be coming and speaking to that person, right? We have that moment with the person at the door. And if we focus on that, then it changes the way we approach it too. And that's what's, you know, beautiful about it, is that the way God weaves things together, and that you don't know who else he's going to be sending to speak to that person and how he's going to use your words. And we really see amazing things happen in the field and talking to people. And, you know, we meet a lot of women and men who are post-abortive, right? Or, you know, men who've been involved in abortion, maybe they didn't have a say, or they were part of it. You know, maybe they coerced someone. And then obviously women who've had an abortion. And there is so much grief and devastation decades later. You know, we meet people, and we go through special training because we meet so many people that have been devastated by the abortion industry. And that's a purposeful word, is industry. It is an industry that is profiting and exploiting off of women and their unborn children. And that's what, you know, people need to understand, is that just follow the money. You know, Planned Parenthood, they're making a lot of money off of abortion.
We're coming up to a break here. When we come, it'll be a short break. When we come back, you will be invited to stay with us if you want, or I noticed your beauty sleep seems to have done you a lot of good, okay? And so
I'm not getting much beauty sleep these days.
I praise the good Lord for what you've been doing out there. So hang tight. We're coming up to a break. When we come back from the break, I will give you the option of staying with us a little while, or giving the address and telling the folks how they can contact you one more time. So we will be back right after this. Don't go away. More to come.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries. 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
Turbulent times call for clear-headed insight. That's hard to come by these days, especially on TV. That's where we come in. Salem News Channel has the greatest collection of conservative minds all in one place. People you know and trust, like Dennis Prager, Eric Metaxas, Charlie Kirk, and more. Unfiltered, unapologetic truth. Find what you're searching for at snc.tv and on Local Now Channel 525.